My goal today is to bring glory to the Lord.
Amen.
He has been so awesomely faithful in my life. And I want to tell a little bit about what He's done in my life. And I pray that every word that I say, or every song, every verse, every word in that music will bring Him glory. Because I'm scared witless, as I always am, whenever the Lord calls me to do something like this. I thank Him for that opportunity, because He is truly an awesome God. But there will be extra vibrato, and there will be extra percussion not coming from the keyboard. That's my knees knocking. So if you will forgive missed notes and forgive stumbling words, let the Lord bless you this morning. Go with me to His throne room in prayer. Father, I thank You for the truly awesome God that You are. And I thank You for the opportunity that You're giving me to share some of what You've done in my life. Because You are a miraculous God, and we do have questions about prayer. But I believe, Father, that You know from the beginning to the end what will happen. And I don't know the answers to changing Your mind, but I do know that I'm called to be in constant conversation with You. And You've told me in Your Word to bring my petitions before You, to fall on my face before You in boldness because of Jesus, and to let You know what my heart is feeling and thinking. So help us, Father, to always be in prayer. And please use me today to convey Your works in one little person and bring You glory through the recognition of who You are. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I was not raised in church. I am one of five children. I have a twin sister, I have a middle sister, and I have younger brothers who are twins. My mother and father professed to be Christians, but they were of the mind that there were too many hypocrites in church. They had been hurt somehow. They never shared it with me in a church, which is so typical, it seems, that we go to church wanting something to be given to us as opposed to going to give to Jesus the worship and our attention to learning about Him that He deserves. My father was a Dallas police officer. And my mother was a trained on-the-job RN. She never went to school, but the little hospital that she worked in trained her and treated her as though she were an RN. We did not pray regularly. We prayed over our meals at Thanksgiving. And from time to time, and more often as the years went on, I saw my daddy reading his Bible. But we didn't talk about a lot of things of the Lord. They encouraged and allowed me to visit different churches all my life, from the time I was old enough to ask if I could go to church with somebody. That led to great confusion, I think you'll understand, because I was experiencing Pentecostal worship and thoughts and processes and teachings. Catholic. I went to the Catholic Church for a while. I even went to some of the catechism classes. And I went to little independent Baptist church for a while, off and on throughout my younger years. And I was very confused. I always had an interest in the Bible. My mother implanted within me a voracious reading want and wish. And the Bible was one of those things that I really enjoyed reading. I had a King James Version, and for someone who is between the ages of 7 and 11 and 15 and all that, it was difficult, honestly, for me to understand for two reasons. First of all, the King James English threw me off greatly, but also because I did not have the Holy Spirit living within me to enlighten me at that time. So I walked through that period in my life very confused. Let's go ahead and do it. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Music has always been very, very, very important to me. I grew up with an uncle who was first chair French horn. He was accepted as first chair French horn in the Navy band. However, the Navy wouldn't accept him because he was epileptic. I grew up listening to the mellow sounds of that beautiful instrument, and I wanted to play the French horn for all I was worth. When I became old enough to join the band, my twin sister wanted to play the clarinet, and I wanted to play the French horn, so we toddled off during that summer to the summertime lessons that were provided by our local school. In Texas, it's very hot, and I think just everybody wears shorts all the time. So in that explanation, or with that explanation, you'll understand, I came home more and more and more with this rash on my legs and on my arm. Couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. Went to a dermatologist and learned, much to my heartbreak, that I'm allergic to brass. I'm also violently allergic to the valve oil that went in the thing. At that period in time, my parents were not willing to purchase an ivory French horn for a sixth grader to learn to play. So therefore, my band career ended with the first day of school, and I switched from band to choir. The Lord has given me a wonderful, wonderful experience through the years in learning to sing and in giving me an absolute need to communicate with the words of each song that I sing. It bothers me to have a song dedicated to the Lord that is theologically shallow or in some cases wrong. And so through the years he's taught me, I believe, what he wants me to say and to sing. And so as we go on today, I would like for you to think about and really listen to the words of each one of the songs that I'm going to share with you. Not my voice, but the words, the songs. The song I just sang, Were You There, was instrumental in the very moment that Jesus saved me. Again, I grew up in Texas. We're talking about country music. I grew up with all of Bill Anderson, Buck Owens, all of the old country music stars, and especially Johnny Cash and his family. That song, Were You There, was sung one evening on his show, and somehow, some way, Jesus let me know in my heart, I was there when Jesus was crucified. I was there when they nailed him to the cross. And praise his name, I was there when he rose up from the grave. I don't remember the words I said. I wasn't in church at that moment. I was in my mother's bedroom. But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that at the age of 12, using the words to that song and what little I had understood in the Bible from at that time, that he saved me and he let me know that I was his child. I didn't know anything else. It took me many years. So we'll go along. I'll explain. That I didn't understand a lot, but I did know that Jesus was in my heart. There were a few verses that I read that I could understand clearly in King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Didn't understand much more, but those were very clear signs to me that Jesus wanted me to invite him into my heart. And so I did. I was still drifting. I was still going to all these little churches. One in particular I went to most often was a Pentecostal church. And I don't know how many times I went to that altar seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they'd hold my arms up while I prayed, and they'd say, just let it happen. There were times when we would finally end the service just so I would say, yeah, I would end it by just saying, okay, yeah, I got it. But the next time I went to church, I was back down there again because it wasn't happening. So I was very, very confused. There's another verse that the Lord helped me to understand that says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now at this point, I had not been baptized in water, but I knew somehow that this confusion would come to an end. And one way I knew that is because Jesus was in my heart. And there is something about that name that when you mention the name of Jesus, things change. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. So true. You know, Jesus moves mountains. Jesus moves hearts. People get so angry who don't know him when you mention the name of Jesus. We talked in this class so many times, we can pray in public. We can pray anywhere as long as we don't mention Jesus. He is the most powerful person and God, and His name holds mighty power. Soon I went to a new church, Monica Park Christian Church. It's a Disciples of Christ church that the Lord used in my life for many years. I learned about new translations of the Bible. I began to read more and understand more. I was a faithful attender of this church. I was a faithful member of the choir there. I was assistant director of the adult choir and director of the children's choir. And I had the great opportunity at that time to go to music workshops that were sponsored by a music company that had an enormously influential man by the name of Dick Baker. And I have talked about him before. The song I'm about to do is one of his. He wrote it and published it in 1984. And Dick Baker was used in my life so beautifully in those years of going to music workshops. He believed so clearly in actual, factual words and lessons in the music that he did. It came from his heart. It came from Jesus. And he used it to, the Lord used it to really instill in me the beauty of communication of His love through music. Have you been to the cross where the Lord Jesus suffered? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the place of redemption for sinners? Have you been to Calvary? It was there on Calvary, God's dear Son laid down His life for me. While there's time, don't delay. Place your faith in Christ Jesus. Turn your eyes now to Calvary. I was still confused. These were my late teens and early 20s. But I was at last beginning to learn what Jesus wanted for my life. I was taking baby steps, but He was allowing me to teach children, third grade through fifth grade at this church. And it's so true what my husband and Gary and all the other teachers in this class say, that you learn more and you're challenged more when you're a teacher. And I began to be troubled with this particular denomination, because not only did the children not even know the very basic of Bible stories, but the doctrine of this particular denomination was pretty shaky as I began to look into it more. And maybe I shouldn't mention names, but I will anyway. Robert Schuller and the Crystal Cathedral at that time were extremely popular. He was a disciples minister, and this was the leading disciples church at that time. And the day the Lord got my attention about this was when they had the disciples' convention at the Crystal Cathedral. And I was listening to what was going on there, like we do the Southern Baptist Convention, and knowing the things that were being talked about. And the main thing that just knocked me in the head was that Robert Schuller and the denomination itself refused at that point in time to take a stand against homosexuality. That was very early on in this battle, and it's just gotten so out of control now that only a miracle from Jesus is going to take our country back to where we are actually on His path. Amen. But that rocked my boat. And shortly after that convention, we had at that church with some of the women what was called a covenant Bible study. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but it's a group whereby you invite people to come in for a Bible study openly in the beginning. And by the third meeting, it's closed. No one else is invited to visit, because the whole idea is to delve into the Word with no restrictions, no outside ridicule, no one coming in who doesn't really know what's going on. And the teacher rotates between the people. And the Lord just really taught me at that time that I was beginning to have a real thirst for Him. I wanted to know more about His Word. I was on my way out of that denomination because women pastors, women elders, which in our church would be the same as deacons, being an authority over the church was not what I believed was true in the Bible. But I knew one thing, and that was that I belonged to the Lord. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. He also was giving me an unquenchable thirst for His Word. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. So I had to leave that denomination in search of the truth. I wanted to know what the Lord wanted for my life. I went to a new church, Southern Baptist Church, And it's there that I began to receive the teaching and the encouragement to learn what lordship is all about. You know, you can be saved for many, many years, and I think this happens especially with children, but not understand what it means for the Lord to be Lord of your life. Everything you do, think, say, your every breath comes from Him and should be dedicated to Him and to bring Him glory and only Him. Without Him I can do nothing. Without Him I'll surely fail. Without Him I will be drifting like a ship. Do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be. Can't do anything without Him. And when we have Him, the most exciting thing in the whole world He's taught me is to worship Him. To worship Him, especially with music, but in everything we do and say and think. And I have a great opportunity to do this every day in the lab where I work. I work by myself. They come in all the time and I'm singing. They come in and I'm praying. And I thank the Lord for that opportunity to praise Him. Any of these songs, guys, that you know, please don't hesitate to sing with me because they're all awesome. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise. The Lord's used this particular song to help me to worship in all of the places I've been, whether it's Monica Park, whether it's the Southern Baptist Church in Texas, whether it's the little church that we joined when we first came to Tennessee, and here at Sevier Heights. You know this song, and it's one of the most magnificent praise choruses ever. Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be your glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own. His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. along with praise, he was teaching me something about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is needed, necessary, and I would find out as my valleys began to come how important it is. And as we were teaching our children about Jesus and about praising and about spiritual warfare, we taught them one little song. And it has been used in my life, continues to be almost daily, that I will sing, "What a Mighty God We Serve." And the verse to it speaks directly to our enemy. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I've used that in my life. I teach it to everyone who comes to me asking for prayer for a trial, because it is powerful. Satan has to flee. He has to do what we tell him in Jesus' name. We have power over Satan in Jesus' name. Went through the deep valley of divorce. Not Jesus' best. Not the will that he has for those who enter the bonds of marriage. But it happens. Went through some very, very deep emotional troubling times in thinking that I might lose my children because of it. But Jesus was there. He's always there. He's never far away. All we have to do is call on him. And he will answer us. He will let us know. It might be yes, no, maybe, or wait. But he always answers us. I know who I believe in. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. Here we go. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to him against that day. That's true of ourselves. That's true of our children. That's true of every valley that we ever walk through. I returned after the divorce and after my wonderful remarriage to my husband, who is the greatest gift on this earth that God has ever given me, is to be married to a truly godly man. Amen. He taught me through that what biblical submission is all about. Doesn't mean that there weren't lots of tears in the beginning as I learned what it means. Doesn't mean he was a tyrant. It means he was teaching me what God had to say, teaching me to pray for him and not nag him. Teaching me to accept God's will whenever he said no, or his will when he said wait. And there's nothing that I am more thankful for than the influence of my godly husband. My parents died within 2 weeks of each other to the day in my arms. It's another valley that the Lord sent me through. It wasn't easy. I questioned whether I was an orphan. Are you an orphan whenever your parents die and you're an adult? But I wasn't. Because Jesus is my Savior. He's my brother. God the Father is my Father. I didn't need earthly parents. I only needed Him. And there's a song that I loved. It's kind of controversial right now, I guess. Because it seems if you take it anything other than symbolically, that it's theologically weird. But I think all of you know and love this song and recognize that it is a symbol of our relationship with the Lord, especially in a valley. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells the Lord's done a lot more things in my life. But you have been instrumental enormously in the latest valley that I walked through. That's the valley of cancer. When we went to the doctor first and were talking about the surgery, she said to me, well, no, she said to my husband, she said, has she told you that she's scared to death? He said, no. She said, well, she is. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not. It's not why me, it's why not me. I don't deserve one more breath. The Lord has been way too good to me for me not to recognize that. But He chose to allow me to walk through that valley. And that doesn't mean that there weren't doctors' attitudes to deal with, botched surgeries to deal with, and unexpected treatment that I was told I would never have to have. But once again, Jesus was always there. Always. He never leaves us. When we ask Him to be our Savior, He never, ever leaves us. And so how in the world can I say thanks? How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, would you close us in prayer, please?
Sure. Father, thank you for the way you've used my wife this morning and these beautiful songs to touch our hearts. And Lord, we realize as we listen to her story that every one of us has a story, and it's very fascinating and interesting and amazing the way you bring us through different experiences to the place where we are today. And none of us would ever have guessed the path you would have led us on. And it's just amazing. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we thank you for this time we've had together this morning. Thank you so much for my wonderful wife, who is such an encouragement to me. And thank you for giving me this time with her. And thank you for this time we've had together this morning. We give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.